We're in the throes of E3, but it's time to talk about the press conferences. How did the companies let us know what was coming up in their next year? A little more than a year. We're going to talk about our highlights, lowlights, and favorite moments. Don't you go anywhere.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Internet, we're ready to die. Andrew WK was one of the highlights of the show, I would say, early on. Though the crowd was not very hyped to see him. Welcome to the special episode of Inventory Full covering E3 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I just say that. That's Nate Miller.
What's up, nerds? Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media, Dog Like Nate.
Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey, guys. Stacey Shuttleworth. Find me all over at Stacey Shuttles.
Patrick Dees.
What is up? Still Patrick Dees. You find me P to the Dees.
Man, I've been telling you consistently, and Nate knows this very much, I've been listening to the song on repeat ever since the Rage 2 trailer dropped.
Yeah, you have.
And when I heard the rumor that he was going to be playing the Bethesda conference, I was so jealous that I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because I would have been up and around, unlike everybody at the conference.
The lone person screaming, like, this makes sense!
Singing along, like, this is my life!
Yes.
Yeah, this would have been me. I spent barely any time in downtown LA. I went to EA Play on Saturday, only got to play a couple of things because lines were garbage.
Yeah.
I'm still recovering from my sunburn.
You look tan and healthy.
Thanks, dear.
You're welcome.
But I got to play FIFA 19 because the friend that I was there with wanted to play FIFA 19.
All right.
Joy of joys.
Yeah, you didn't play that Command and Conquer?
I actually did play Command and Conquer. I actually liked it.
Yeah, okay. Did you? Okay, good. Let's talk about it.
But it was whatever.
Yeah.
And I got to play the new Battlefront expansion just because Star Wars is my life and I love it. And
The solo experience,
which is a payload mode, made me want to get back into it because it's a payload mode.
Cool.
I'm good at payload modes, but
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. That it takes place on the new planet, and they have new versions of Han and Lando and everybody. So am I rushing out to buy Battlefront 2 again? No, but it gives me another reason. Once that Clone Wars stuff drops, though, I'll be all for it. That's but Patrick, you. This has been your life.
I've been eating, sleeping, breathing E3.
So
2 days at EA Play.
Really quickly,
yes.
Is there anything from the convention floor that you want to highlight while you're here?
No, I think, don't go. That would be my... especially if you're not any industry pass. We were talking, off mic, but passes are $250.
Yep.
It is... The show is not equipped for the amount of, journalists and buyers that were there before, much less now. And one of the grossest new trends, and I'm wearing swag from two different things, my Xbox jacket and my Ghost of Tsushima shirt, was instead of waiting in line for that shit, you can literally go just buy swag. They're monetizing these fans who get to see no games. So it was tough. You can see the Spider-Man booth. Spider-Man was literally the biggest amount of space I've ever seen at the Sony. I've been on the last six. It's half of their floor.
They are
very proud of this title. As they should be, it's dope. I got a chance to play it. It's incredible.
How many years have they been showing this game at E3?
Three.
Three.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Yeah, but they're real proud. They know they have a winner. And it's awesome. I got a chance to get some hands-on with Spider-Man. It was neat. It is the Spider-Man game that you at home have been waiting for. I'll say that.
So we're going to go through some of these. We're going to go through all of some of the press conferences. We're not going to talk about PC and Devolver Digital because I couldn't find a place to watch them, which was weird. Devolver was only about 20 minutes.
Was over before I got back on.
Yeah, it was bedlam. It was crazy.
Yep.
And they scheduled it really tight on the back of Bethesda. So... But let's start off with the one that started everything, EA.
Yes.
I want to start with you, Stacey. Was there anything that grabbed you from the conference itself?
I mean, there wasn't anything huge I was looking for from EA this year. I actually am real excited about the Clone Wars for Battlefront. I am. You know what? It sounds like they're actively working on this game, and I got to give them credit for that. Mm-hmm. And that does sound like fun.
That apology was real impressive.
It was.
It takes some guts to get out there. They literally could have filmed an apology. Somebody went out there and went, no, I'm sorry. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I actually really was impressed.
Did you have a positive? What was your positive from EA?
Sea of Sadness.
Sea of Solitude.
Sea of Solitude. That thing that Mark just said. Look, I think it's cool seeing devs very humbly talk about their games. Probably when the first time anybody outside of their company has ever even seen it. Mm-hmm. And she really had it. Was this authentic moment? So much of E3 is this canned, contrived message that's been rehearsed for however long. You lose this spontaneity, this authenticity. Mm-hmm. And she came out, like, not clearly not a public speaker, took a breath. It was awesome. It was just a cool moment. And I love hearing people talk about
it. And here's the difference is that authenticity.
Yeah.
And I don't think we got enough of it this week.
No.
I thought, and I would say similarly, the highlight for me for EA was both, was Unraveled 2 and Sea of Solitude, because both of those creators were so passionate that they didn't, the teleprompter was there if they needed it, but they didn't need it.
Nope.
Right.
They were nervous about being in front of a camera and being in front of a crowd of people as opposed to talking about their passion.
Yeah.
And the only other guy I would say would be the director of Devil May Cry 5. Like that was one of the only other moments where it was like, all right, I'm excited because you're excited.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. And so that was my highlight. Nate, did you have anything from EA?
What does that mean?
Because it was rough. EA's press conference was rough.
Oh, wait a minute.
Go on.
Was that...
Here, nope.
I got mixed up because I
6 minutes in they mentioned the battle royale.
Yeah,
minutes into E3 they mentioned battle royale.
Battlefield 5 battle royale.
Yeah, I know. Let's do this.
On top of it.
But like Nate, you and I were talking before.
I guess
said.
That's my highlight,
right?
Yeah, I was thinking of Ubisoft. I was thinking of Division, but that's not.
Yeah, nope.
And it is Division not. Shown twice at two different places. Now lowlights. I would have to say. Most of it, like just the general message that EA usually puts out isn't one that I will admit I'm not here for.
Yep.
Like I'm not a sports guy. Nope. They handed me a copy of Madden 18 and FIFA 18 while I was there.
Oh, cool.
And I'm figuring out what to do with them. I was trying to. They're digital copies.
Oh, sorry.
For the opposite systems that I wanted it for. They gave me Madden on Xbox and FIFA on PS4. And I was like, do you have other? And they went, no. So even in like giving me something free, they were like,
take it, very gift. Patrick Sutherland.
Yeah, I was kind of glad that I didn't watch this one live. I think I came in like probably like 45 minutes after and I was watching it on my phone, and I was able to skip through FIFA, skip through Madden, and then I looked up and I was like, oh, it's over.
It was weird. It was weirdly paced. Even Madden didn't have the story mode this year. Like, everything about E3s was just bizarre.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
It was a very weird message that everybody was trying to get out. Stacey, was there anything that pointed that was just distinctly...
I mean, I did the same thing as Nate. I watched it after and I just skipped over all the things I wasn't interested
in.
No, man, that was
okay, hype. That performance was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that was all right.
I want to dress like that every day of my life.
Can I say my low light?
To everyone else's chagrin.
I would love to hear your low light, Patrick.
Was it Anthem? Arguably the game I'm most excited about. I saw this behind closed doors.
Was that EA?
Yes.
It was.
I forgot about that.
Look, the game is like feature complete. This is a done game, and they kept showing things that said early concept footage during that panel. Mm-hmm. The game is done.
What are you doing?
But like nothing about showing concept art like says, hey, my game's gonna hit its date. Like, dude, it was fucked. I literally saw a 30 minute demo. What are they doing? The game's incredible. And like they did a terrible job showing it, especially after BioShock or Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Last year, like they really needed some confidence in BioWare, and this did not do it. I'm losing my voice.
Did not do it very well.
If I was them, I would be very, so very bad. Concerned with how they market this game.
Yes,
I think that's where they're taking the extra time.
Comparison to Destiny and the marketing of Destiny versus what you got was a big reason why it got the blowback it got on launch. So I think given that it's that same kind of ish game, they need to be very careful about what they promise people and what they show people.
Yeah.
I kind of get why they are being that way.
But they didn't do the deep dive. That would have been the really good call. See, this is why the EA needs a Nate, right? Like, you could have done the deep dive and make sure they level set correctly. They were like, they threw him some softballs and then had like little GIFs running in the background. And I'm like, this does not... I don't know. They did come out this week and say no PvE. Cool. No PvP.
No
PvP. Which I think is interesting.
So
it might not be Nate's jam. Yep. It is a loot shooter, but it is all PvE.
I don't remember who said it. It was either you or Robbo said that they kept showing the same 30-second loop on stuff.
Over and over. They didn't have enough footage to cover the conversation they were having.
The game's done. I watched
Anthem, for FIFA, for Madden, for everything.
Constantly.
They kept re-showing stuff.
I can't.
The only things that they didn't re-show were Sea of Solitude.
Great.
And Unraveled 2.
SOS.
Those are the only two. And like Sea of Solitude is like, oh, cool, we're going to get that next year.
Was Command & Conquer EA?
Let's shoutcast that
Command
shit. Yes,
EA?
It was. Yes.
And Command & Conquer was EA.
Yes.
Was awful.
That was real bad.
I skipped through it, but I stopped to cringe a little bit, and
great.
Then I
crushed it. Good job.
I didn't see the announcement, but I played it, and it's fine. Okay. It's a mobile game. It's a fun mobile game.
Yep.
But I wouldn't play it on my phone. I would play it on an iPad.
I wouldn't watch somebody shoutcast it.
They were doing it live.
No?
They were doing it while I was at.
If you paid me, I wouldn't.
While I was at EA Play, the guys on that huge main marquee stage shoutcasting to literally like two people.
Rough.
It was tough.
I will say part of the reason I got in that line, they had shirts. By the time I got through that line,
they were out of shirts.
Damn.
Did you keep the umbrella hat?
I did keep the umbrella hat.
Go to his Twitter feed right now. It's an amazing picture of him in an umbrella hat.
So,
I kind of love it.
Really quickly about EA Play.
Yes.
It was over 90, maybe 95 degrees outside.
No.
They didn't have water readily available for people. They had guys in carts coming and bring it out to the line, but they would run out before it got to various parts of the line. Instead of getting a giant awning, they handed out selectively. Not everybody got one. An umbrella hat.
You look pasty and white. Would I get one?
No. The lady was like, I need to see some hype if you want one of these. Oh. Be excited. And I was like, I let out a yell. And they're like, here you go. And I went, thank you. Saved my life because I did burn on my arms. My face was fine. The back of my neck was fine. But last year they had a monster booth where you could get essentially an unlimited amount of Monster Energy drink. Not here this year.
Good time.
A lack of shade too. It was just a much worse event. In terms of making sure that people were okay.
Yeah, those long lines were outside. Mm-hmm. People waited hours in the sun for that.
I waited hours in the sun.
Last year that people would still come even if they didn't treat them nicely, so they just saved the money.
Yep, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they're not doing loot boxes, so they gotta save.
You gotta save money somewhere.
What do you guys want? You want loot boxes or you want unlimited monsters?
Or do you want water?
Yeah.
Really, really quickly, Anthony, can you just check on time while we move on? Thank you. Let's move on to Microsoft, and this is where, if you're watching on Popcorn Talk, we do the show on Twitch as well, and we covered all of them from here on out. We did live reactions on twitch.tv/inventoryfullpt. Make sure to go give us a follow and a subscription with your Twitch Prime subscription. Let's talk about Microsoft. I want to know, Nate, what was your highlight from Microsoft?
Yeah, Nate.
I don't know. I was kind of hyped about Halo Infinite.
Mm-hmm. Until we got no information about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a next-generation game.
But apparently it's going to come to PC when it launches. So
it will.
I'll be into that.
Cool.
I just want to say, I literally said the words Halo Infinite on our prediction cast.
You did.
I'm just saying.
You did.
Very excited about that.
He's a good boy.
I know. I was very excited.
You got a rat? What's up?
Maybe.
For me, it was the dedication. Like Microsoft said at the top, I was like, they said 50 games, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's gonna be indie stuff, and there's gonna be a montage.
Sure.
But they still ended up showing a lot outside of that montage.
Crushed it.
Yep.
So the third party support.
Yep.
They killed it, especially looking back at everybody else. We saw stuff for the first time on the Microsoft stage, even though there were other conferences.
Yep.
We saw Fallout 76 first on Microsoft.
Yes, we did.
We saw Division 2 first on Microsoft. And I would say the third-party support. That was it for me.
That's super
great. What about you, Patrick?
Look, there's so many, and I actually think this is literally the best conference of the day. My highlight has to be, though, Cyberpunk was the one more thing. Like, I'm a huge Witcher nerd. Those guys can do no wrong. And we've been waiting to actually see a tone piece from them. They announced that game 5 years ago and then got really, they overscoped Witcher, which it's literally one of my favorite games of all time. But, it was a great way to go out. It was a great and one more thing, and the trailer was dope as shit.
Because it wasn't just, we have one more announcement. Let's bring out the guys from CD Projekt Red.
Right, totally.
It was, we're done. No, we're not.
No, we're not. And, he got hacked. And then I don't know if you guys had a chance to see what they did. They literally wrote a letter to all of the fans, and as it glitched, if you freeze it, tells you a bunch of different things about the game. It talks about, no DRM on computers, that, when it's done, it's ready. Go back and look up that image, because there's a ton in there that talks about the game.
There were also random 12-digit codes that were full copies of The Witcher 3 on Xbox.
On good old games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing.
No, on Xbox.
Oh, is that
Xbox.
Right? Great.
Yeah,
great.
Because they're on the Xbox stage,
yes.
They gave out free copies, but you had to find
because
them.
Because they're awesome. I love those guys, developers. And I think that trailer was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
You know, as someone who... I never really pay attention to Xbox just because that hasn't been my platform of choice. So the stuff they show, I generally haven't been able to play. This was an amazing conference.
It was.
And so from it, actually, their dedication to the Gamer Pass and expanding that and making it something worth having and letting you play all these games, I'm like, now I'm kind of jealous. I want that.
It's mission accomplished, then.
I want that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the first time I've ever been like, all right, okay. Xbox. All right.
Yeah, I'll say without giving too much away, the game that has sold me the most this year, that would be my quote, game of show, was on this conference. And I didn't expect it to be that, but it I went from zero to at least a 90 to a 100 on the game itself, partly due to Game Pass, because I went, oh, I'll be able to play this and it won't be that much of a financial burden and I'll be able to have fun. Maybe I will actually buy it because this is a world that I want to spend a lot of time in because it fits my damn aesthetic too damn much. Jump Force was hype as hell.
Hell yeah!
I played Jump Force.
Did you?
I played Jump Force. I'm not into anime at all, but like, wow, that aesthetic's something fucking else. Yeah, I got to play that. It's really cool.
Yeah. What was that?
I'm just saying I called this.
Some anime bullshit? Is that, that's what you said?
No, that they that Shonen Jump needs to get, because they own like the three biggest animes, and they need to bring them together.
Dude, the game is so fast. Like, again, it's moves so fast. I had no idea who any of these people were, so like none of it resonated. Do I'm like, that guy looks spiky, and that guy looks cool. It's cool. It's really fun.
Did they only have the three characters that they showed in the
trailer? No, there were three more. They had Sasuke, Zoro, and...
Frieza.
No, well, there is another person too, Sasuke, Zoro, who's the other, and I guess Frieza,
yeah.
Okay, I mean, because honestly, I'm hype about this game, but not because of the three title characters they showed, but because of who could be in
it. Dude, it was, it's the rest of the Jump fucking fast, like, I think that trailer did a really good job of showing what gameplay feels like, because it was awesome.
I think this is the son of Xenoverse. The way that it looks reminded me a lot of Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
That's what I was gonna, my question is, do we know what studio is?
Bandai Namco.
Yeah.
Okay. So probably. Is.
Yeah. But I'm excited for
I'd be into that though.
The other franchises that may show up.
It's really something else.
Yeah. If it turns into their kind of Smash, where they're bringing in even like the littler Shonen Jump comics, there's so much.
There was a Jump game at the end of last generation, beginning of this generation, that wasn't that great. That I think they went, oh, this can be something great, and it had even more. It had Bleach. It had Gintama. It had a lot of folks. Cool. But lowlights. Were there any lowlights for Microsoft? Mine was that they didn't use the Xboxes on stage. They only used it for... And they did...
They had a cool stage set up.
They did end up using it for their event across the whole weekend.
Yeah.
But didn't they as a stage presence, they just did Forza.
They did a little, they did a very small demonstration.
Mm-hmm. But anybody else lowlights?
I think I think they did almost everything right. I think you can't call it a lowlight because it didn't show up, but no Rocksteady. And I think they crushed it with like their commitment to first party, and they talked through all the acquisitions. Shout out to Ninja Theory. That's fucking awesome.
Yes, the acquisitions were huge,
beautiful.
Too.
But they didn't acquire Remedy, which bums me out. Because that there was a whiteboard somewhere that had all the list of studios that they're going to talk to. They had that kind of first party relationship with Alan Wake. Somebody said no at Remedy, so like I was like, oh. But anyway, like, so even their negatives were pretty positive. Again, 10 out of 10 this conference.
Stacey, what was your lowlight?
That was a solid conference. It was good. Like, I cannot find anything to complain about it.
No Rocksteady, man.
I mean,
no Rocksteady.
But they went at a pace that didn't make you go, oh, where's this?
Yeah,
oh, where's this?
Right,
it was
right.
cool.
The conference
was
amazing.
Another conference definitely did.
10 out of 10.
But go ahead.
Sorry, was Xbox Gears?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, the fake gameplay, that was the lowlight.
What? Oh, the pop?
The talking.
Oh, that. The
Funko Pop?
No, that was Division. Division was...
Was it Division?
It was Division. Online chatter?
That's right. Oh. The online... That was a bad time.
Oh, no. Except that one where that one person gave the other person shit for being a low level. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the most real gamer banter I've ever heard.
It was not even close. Not even close.
I thought that was funny as hell. Like, sorry, I've been busy, guys. Let's get you to level 30 because you suck. It's amazing.
Nate, did you have a low light?
There wasn't anything like that big, I think, for me. I think that is a... I mean, I think it was a really good conference, but there wasn't anything I was like, wow, man, Microsoft really blew it out of the water with this.
Open world Halo, man.
Yeah, but I wish that they would
know
just,
that.
I think we do.
My low light is that they didn't tell us anything.
They didn't.
They said Halo Infinite, huh? So today we're going to be talking. Like, they didn't tell us anything.
It's a next generation open world Halo,
but we don't know that.
I know that.
Yeah, but they didn't tell us.
I know. True. You're right.
And that's kind of the worst thing. Bethesda. Let's talk about Bethesda.
This was
fun.
Yep.
We got a lot in this. For me, a highlight has got to be the announcement of another Doom.
Yes.
Even though we got no date, no gameplay.
Nope.
But it's like, you want more this, more that, more this, more that. All right, it's all in there. Great.
Yep.
Now sit back and relax. fuckers. And yeah. And it's, yeah. I mean, I'm rocking my Doom shirt today. I've been listening to the soundtrack.
Yep.
Like, on NXT. Had nothing to do with the show, but I was like, you know what? I want to listen to some Doom. So we came in to Doom.
Great.
And I'm gonna get it on Switch. I'm gonna play it again. Highlight. Even though it was no date, this was like one of the most get hype. I was like, oh well, we won't hear anything about Doom.
Yeah,
we are.
Surprise!
Now, Stacey is somebody who attended this conference last year. What was it like sitting at home? And what was some of your favorite stuff?
I mean, I love this conference too. I did. Dude, that Wolfenstein Youngblood, though.
Hell yeah!
Let's just stop and talk about that for a second.
I know! Holy shit. So I know. See, God.
Yes.
Me and Stacey just...
Mm-hmm. Nate, what was did you have a highlight from Bethesda? Even if it was the trolling of the Alexa version
of Skyrim. Which was a lot of fun. That was pretty good.
And real talk.
I like the 76 stuff. There was more that they talked about later outside the conference that I think they should have just talked about in the conference. Mm-hmm. But I understand why they did it the way that they did it.
Yep.
I would say, I think this is my favorite one overall. I think they had the best combination of stuff to talk about, reveals, gameplay shown. But then also when they had people talking, like they had people that are good at talking. I think that's something for me that I seriously get fatigued about watching E3.
Yeah.
Is these people that, like, that's great that they're the designer and they're like great at doing what they're doing, but they're not good at talking in front of people. And they shouldn't be, like, we have this community has so many people, streamers, like celebrities, there's so many people who talk to people. Just tell them what you want to say and let them say it in a way that is pleasant to watch. Like I hate those awkward moments. So to see them, Pete Hines and what's the other guy's name?
Todd Howard.
Yep. They're both great orators alongside being their designers and whatever. So hearing them talk about the games, that was my highlight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you also kind of let us in on your low light, or a bit of a low light for every other conference as well. But Patrick, what about you?
Todd Howard. I think the guy, like, we don't deserve Todd Howard. He did an incredible job of articulating what 76 was in a way that, like, I granted they gave him the space to do it, but he told that story in a way that made it accessible and, like, it really articulated the value proposition, and nobody left confused as to what that game was, where they didn't when they did the announcement, which was kind of shitty, and they took pre-orders on that. And I think Todd's incredible, and like I love that he got out in front of, you know, Starfield and the next Elder Scrolls. I think that was more of a recruiting tool than anything else, but it also, like, appeases shareholders, right? Like, by the way, we're making those games, so stop asking us about it.
And he even
let us, right, and he let us in on the fact that they're next gen titles as well. Like, this is the end of this generation. It's neat. Todd Howard.
Yeah, I would say the only thing for a low light, the only thing I could pick for a low light for this conference was the crowd not being totally into Andrew W.
Amen.
It was weird.
It was very awkward.
Uncalled for.
I'm just not into Rage.
What?
And then, like, it was a really weird transition because it made it seem like they were going to go straight into talking about the game or show a gameplay or a trailer or something. And then he just walks out on stage and starts performing. Like, dude, it was not the best.
I thought we would see,
like,
more visuals with it as well.
Like, that's... No, you don't start a rock show like, all right, and now we're going to show more about the game. Silence.
I think if anything, if they started with him on stage, they come up from the countdown saying... And the music just starts, and they start with Rage. Boom, huge loud message, as opposed to, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Andrew WK. And then they have to get back.
They should,
like they did with God of War last year, where they had that symphony orchestra. If he was playing live and they were showing gameplay underneath it, that's fucking rad. And that's why we were all here. It just is a weird transition. It wasn't good for the audience there, and people at home didn't like want to do it either.
He did the whole song, and like maybe if he had done one of his new songs, I get that they liked the song for the trailer and stuff. But this is,
and they used the second one for the gameplay channel.
I don't want to hear him use a different song, bro. You just put a whole new album out this year.
All right, this one will be quick. If anybody wants to skip highlights or lowlights, that's fine. Square!
Skip.
There was so much that we thought we were going to see.
It was all one lowlight? No.
Jebaited.
No Avengers.
No Avengers, no Final Fantasy.
But dog, you got Quiet, dude.
We were what all do they call that game?
The Quiet Man, which I was actually really interested in.
That could come out really horrific, or it could be really cool. And we're teetering on this possibility.
Bad. Yeah. But highlight, I'd say, for three quarters of this table was the 10 extra seconds of Kingdom Hearts that we got, as opposed to the Xbox trailer.
For the one quarter, yeah, it's complete lore nonsense. Like, it is inaccessible.
Well, no, because we got
all three of those trailers. Not one of them said, "Hey, you're new to Kingdom Hearts. You're gonna love this game." Oh, I just went, "Fuck is happening?"
Oh, do you know how many years you have had?
Don't give a shit
to catch up.
I'm just saying,
if you want to know, you would know.
If you're a Square shareholder, you should care.
I bet you all the Square shareholders have their clipboard at home with the strings.
Yeah, that's probably
with Xehanort. Okay, come on, we need you to finish this game, or what are we paying for?
But like with this franchise, do they even care about bringing in new people? I think they've got this dedicated fan base that has been waiting.
It's true.
We'll buy the shit out of this game.
I also think too, like, even though there is those little tidbits of the lore there, if you look at the majority of the trailers, it's not deep Kingdom Hearts lore.
Here's the worlds,
and that's what the majority of the game is going to. The Kingdom Hearts games are always like that. 80% of the game is playing in the Disney world, playing through the Disney stories, and then when you get to the end of the world, you get a here's a little tidbit about what's going on.
The one with Ratatouille?
Yeah, that was this one.
And he was Norded, I was told.
No, not Remy. Aqua was Norded.
I just heard the word Norded this week, like several times.
We don't have enough time to go into what Nording is.
Nope.
But Ratatouille cooking gameplay was revealed, which made it look like this might be the mini game world of cooking.
Okay. No singing.
No singing, but cooking. No, yes.
You know what? That's an upgrade.
Yeah. So let's move on to Sony.
Thank God.
Let's move on to Ubisoft. Excuse me. This was another super solid conference.
Great.
Yeah. As we were streaming on twitch.tv/inventoryfullpt, it was. I was like, we better get Just Dance started and out of the way. Yep. And then when they did that, I was like, oh, I'm kind of into this.
Great.
Like, cool. But it's like, oh, all right, cool. Yeah.
They made it fun.
I'm into the moment again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still like, move. Anyway. Yeah, that was any highlight. Patrick, did you have a highlight from Ubisoft?
It's Odyssey. Like, I think that game showed incredible. That it wears its Witcher influence on its sleeve. I was pretty excited, dude. It's by Ubisoft Quebec, which is the guys that did Syndicate, which Stacey and I actually really really loved.
I did too.
Did you? Okay.
I also like Syndicate.
So I was very excited about it. But they're calling it, like, I don't think they understand what the word Origins means, because Origins takes place 500 years after Odyssey. So not sure Ubisoft understands that definition. But it looked awesome.
We're not gonna make an Assassin's Creed game every year, guys. We're taking a break.
It looked incredible. Like, this game looks real good. Yeah. It looked real good.
It's coming out this year.
It's stunning.
It is. I wonder if the Odyssey part of the name implies that it will take 10 to 11 years to finish, much like Odysseus is trying to get back to his home.
To 11 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, no. God, no.
They're saying it's bigger than Origins.
But to be completely honest, I bought Origins. I have Origins. Yep. Origins is installed. I will trade it in today to play Odyssey.
It looks that good.
Well, not just that. I'm more interested in the world of Greece than I am in Ancient.
Totally.
Like, I'm going to turn it on and hit Discovery mode just to walk around the world for a couple of hours, and then I might trade in Origins.
The branching dialogue looks cool. It's very RPG. It's cool.
Yeah. I'm into it. And I like how the Spartan crest looks like the Assassin's Creed A.
Yeah, totally.
And this is a time before the Assassin's Order, which is why is this an Assassin's Creed game?
I know. But I love the 300 kick over and over. Just boom.
Because you have the Spear of Leonidas.
So good.
The Leonidas Spear is a piece of Eden. That's how they're sort of connecting this to the ones that came before. I'm about that. But, Nate, did you have a highlight from Ubisoft?
Division 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the trailer of the fake gameplay.
It's just the stuff
they talked about. Yeah,
generally, that's the game's generally in a gameplay. I played it
right now. I mean, sure.
No, but like that area. So, like, what's interesting about like the Division 1? Like, you and I both really like that. Like, but it's a corridor shooty, right? You're shooting on streets in Manhattan. This was really interesting because I played that whole crashed Air Force One section. And which is interesting is like it's a combat arena, meaning you're getting shot from every side. So finding cover is way more dynamic. Like, so I played that section that they showed, even those weird like sticky grenade things. Mm-hmm. The game's cool. I'm very excited about it. It's coming together.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You're like, okay. Okay.
It was hard for me to pick a highlight that wasn't Assassin's Creed, because I knew that we were going to have at least one person.
Of course.
if not everybody. But
is that good?
I don't know if I can say anything.
Great. Let's geek out. It's really
because
good.
Because it's one of those things where I will forego stuff that I already have to play this.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm about it.
Do you want to hit your low light?
No.
Let's,
I, Ubisoft, I'd say, is one of the top three pressers of the whole weekend.
Yeah, okay.
Because they were pretty consistent with their message.
Oh, Skull and Bones.
Yeah, Skull and Bones looks a lot more rad.
Looks cool. Looks rad, right? Bones. Looks cool.
That was my highlight for aside from Odyssey. Okay. Skull and Bones is I'm all over hype for that.
They
game.
Said the phrase "use an island as cover," and I was on board.
Oh,
yes,
I know. Yes. All right, I figured out what my highlight was. Okay. Just because I've been a member of the website for several years, the fact that you can use Hit Record to become a part of Beyond Good and Evil. And I know
I need to talk. Yeah, let's
go
ahead.
I know that there's some discrepancy where people think they're just hawking for free labor, but that's what the website has been.
Yep.
Now the fact that and it's sort of contest between I'll say the word amateur creators to get their stuff featured just to have the experience and build up a resume. The fact that you're involving this multi-billion-dollar company should further incentivize and make it a little bit bigger for people to take part and have their art worked into this franchise.
That's my low light. I think that really bummed me out. Like, I think it's probably could even be really well intended, but like, it's all submitted on spec and they came out with their budget and it's $50,000 total for the whole project. Mm-hmm. That's less than one full-time equivalent person. And it's like, it's literally a shortcut to, it's even cheaper than Proc Gen, right? Like, procedurally generated worlds was everybody's like their shortcut to building more content. And this is even cheaper than that. And like, it bums me out that I think it feels exploitative in a way that like, sure, give us your shit. It's a way to build. It will build worlds at scale and not pay anything for it. And I know that there's somebody, just knowing how business works, I know that there's somebody, and not to be like conspiratorial, they're watching this project very carefully because if this works and they can build this to scale, this is how games will be made in the future. And I am telling you, this is bad for the industry.
Really?
I think this is a very bad precedent. If this is successful and they spend $50,000 on it, this is how games get made for the rest of forever. This is Ubisoft. They had $2 billion in gross sales last year. This is a multi-billion-dollar company, and they're finding ways to like build at scale cheaper than Proc Gen. I think it's gross.
Then I guess we're going have to have a longer conversation about that. So I wanted to move on just because our time got cut really short. Let's talk about Sony.
Yeah.
Hey, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, we were streaming a lot. We were streaming a lot from home for these reviews. Yeah. We got into the studio as a team with Steve the engineer to cover this one, and it was unfortunate that it was this one.
Yeah.
It had to be this one, didn't it?
There is a press guy that I was following who asked the question on social media, is it as weird at home as it is in person? He was there, and the fact that they had to turn on the stream to watch what they were announcing while they were walking from room to room.
What?
Yeah, because they were walking, there were no screens, there was no nothing. People were trying to get to their seats and possibly get better seats unless they were assigned in that new theater. It was just a really strangely put together show.
Yep.
And while Xbox had And even Bethesda and Ubisoft had moments where it was, hey, here's a trailer. Hey, here's a trailer. But now we're going to have somebody talk about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sony, they forewent that to just be like, trailer, extended trailer and world building thing here, which is cool.
Yep.
But for the type of show that we're, one, used to them doing and used to the game industry as a whole doing, I don't know if this was a hit. Like, I was happy about the games that got announced, and it was the most hyped Kingdom Hearts trailer of the entire weekend.
Yep. Easily.
And I'm going to buy Ghost of Tsushima. I'm going to buy Spider-Man.
Amen.
I'm going to buy, like, a lot of the stuff that they had, I'm going straight up buy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But the presentation itself was just janky.
It
was.
Yeah, it was rough. It was tough to watch. Look, Sony's first-party studio strategy is a game is billed as successful if it makes the Sony console the must-have console. It doesn't even have to sell well. Literally, internally, their metrics are all about Metacritic and ratings. And if it's a must-have, regardless of God of War's sales, which did sell incredibly well, it was deemed a success long before it went on sale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I think they further their corporate agenda in saying, yo, like, every one of these games, like, so, like, PlayStation's still the must-have console, because I loved Microsoft's conference, but, like, I can play all of that on Sony, and I can't play anything that they did a deep dive on, so, like, they fulfilled their goal here, I think, but it was still, I could not agree more, it was paced really weird.
Like, we didn't know the protagonist's name in Ghost of Tsushima, didn't, like, the way that we saw a little bit of the HUD and the time and what was going on was cool, but if we had, this is this person.
Yeah.
We're just somebody, whatever, and even somebody not even actually playing, but I liked, one of my favorite parts we talked about 2 years ago Corey Barlog was playing the game live, and one of the cameras was on him.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
But that there was the disconnect here.
Yeah, fair.
But I think the structure, I think we could say, is everybody's low light, unless anybody had a different low light from Sony.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sony's losing in general right now in the race, even though they had God of War and, like, I think part of the reason why this conference went this way is just like how you said, like they need to have a must-buy exclusive to their console to justify their behavior and their attitude, because especially now with the Fortnite being on Switch and how mad people are that they can't even, if they have a PS4 account, they can't. Yeah, like with Microsoft really owning the crossplay between PC and Xbox and then saying, like, well, we're not the ones.
I know,
it's PlayStation, so PlayStation,
they're making some great decisions.
They're just not looking really good right now. I would not, if I don't have a next-gen console, if I was going to buy one, it would be an Xbox, if not a Switch. The PlayStation would be the furthest thought from my mind to get.
You're in the minority. Exclusive. I think they are killing especially it from like a metric perspective.
Really?
You think so? 2.5x installation base in North America. Like they're destroying. And
I guess that's why they feel confident.
Right. They're north of 80 million from an install base. So I think that they feel good about
it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So I guess let's hit highlights, because I thought the extensive look at Ghost of Tsushima was really, really cool.
Me too.
Yep.
Despite the nice shirt. Yeah. Despite the lack of general information, we got how this world is going to look.
Yeah.
I looked on the PlayStation blog and found out that the red leaves are an important, like, the main character is following the red leaves. And it's like, oh, that's a cool journeyman samurai thing, like, that's cool. I wish they would have told us that.
Yeah.
Because
it looked really,
I mean, your shirt's red.
It looked incredible.
Your shirt's red for a reason. It's a marketing reason.
So good. That game looked like otherworldly.
Gorgeous.
Totally.
And it looked like it took some of the best stuff from For Honor, which was a weird reference to make, because the dueling of the sword fighting, as well as Sucker Punch is a brand to me that can do no wrong.
Me
I'm
too.
A big fan of them as a developer, and this is a day one purchase for me. I loved it.
I couldn't tell what kind of game it was. Like, it felt like it was a little bit like Witcher, but a little bit like Batman, right? Like, so I couldn't tell how that combat like flowed, but it was awesome. I loved it when he broke in through that window, and then like you could slow time and like select each person and then cut through
one by
everybody.
One.
Mm-hmm.
And then to your point, Mark, that duel, like with everything going on in the background, what an amazing trailer.
Was that your highlight as well?
Yeah.
Or your I mean, we'll talk about your
game of show.
In a minute.
I just wanted to see us to talk about it.
Stacey, what was yours?
Ghost of Tsushima was mine too. I mean, aside from Kingdom Hearts, which
we're going to talk about that once we get done with the Nintendo Direct. But Nate, what was your favorite thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Moving on to the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
A lot of lowlights for me.
Okay.
I thought this was going to do a lot more. I thought we were going to see a lot more. Even games that are supposed to come out this year, we didn't hear anything more from Yoshi, even though we got an announcement 2 years ago and gameplay last year. And it was, you could play a demo last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was a previous Nintendo Direct. They do them so frequently. But the focus being Smash, and the fact that it is a best of Smash was kind of disappointing to me.
Was it?
I'm happy about it.
Okay.
But ultimately, like, it's losing some of the hype for me, because it's about that new.
Yeah,
go ahead, Stacey.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you. And like, I think about it, and I'm like, God, I'm such a selfish, horrible person. They gave us something really cool.
It's
and here
really
I am
cool.
being ungrateful about it. And, like, I feel bad about it, but, like, I was so disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be Sakurai's last Smash. I think they're optimizing everything, giving us everything, so that he can hand off the series to Bandai Namco or as a partnership, so that he doesn't have to put in the ridiculous hours that he has to. You make a character like Ridley, who they haven't been able to make work for years, work, and now you go, okay, well, there's a new character type that we can make from Ridley. Cool.
Work.
Well, that's what I mean. Is they're,
I mean, you saw
they're homogenizing a lot of the fighter styles so that parts can be pulled and put into other other characters.
This kit seems a little strong. Hopefully he gets some nerfs.
Probably. Hopefully there's some betas. But that's still, but despite that, it was my highlight. I don't know. Nintendo was very, I left feeling very confused.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything that they wanted to mention from Nintendo?
No highlights.
My low light was that there was no Kingdom Hearts trailer. I was bummed out. Everybody's got one.
That's the thing is I could have sworn, thinking back, Sony announced the definitive release of a Kingdom Hearts PlayStation 4 Pro with every single Kingdom Hearts game that you need for Kingdom Hearts 3, as well as Kingdom Hearts 3 that Stacey's going to be getting, and then I should have thought then, oh, that's it. Yeah. They wanted to put the exclamation point at Sony. No thought of Nintendo. But also, it was 40 minutes as opposed to a full hour. Yep.
Sora for Smash.
Exactly. That's what I thought, too. Sora for Smash.
That would have been so good.
Boy. Oh, that's a good point. Marianette in chat says, Super Mario Party. That was a highlight because they're going back to the single movement character as opposed to everybody in a car, which is stupid.
It was less fun when you were in a car. Took away so much from that game.
For gameplay purposes, they wanted everybody to sort of be paying attention at the active at the. Yeah, it was.
I understood it. It just wasn't more fun.
Yeah, Killer Queen. Star Drew says Killer Queen was a. That's an arcade masterpiece that is finally the first home port that it's getting. So good for that. So we're talking about Kingdom Hearts. Let's talk about really quickly. It was there all weekend.
Yep.
It was announced before E3 that at a concert, that we got the release date of January 29th, which is the 13th month of 2018. That's funny. Nomura, you crazy bastard. But then we got it at Microsoft. Of course, we got it at Square. Right. And we got it at Sony. Yep. Patrick, you got to play it.
I did.
So despite being an outsider, we all are very jealous of you.
Yeah.
Yes. How did it feel?
I know. So I would just say new to all the combat, I can't compare it, I have no context. It was really fun. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't underscore. Like, problem is that when you watch things on these, there's all this video compression, right? You guys know this. Like,
yeah.
Seeing it in motion was unlike, the Toy Story world was so incredible. I got to play a short bit in the Toy Story. The two summons I got were Ariel and Wreck-It Ralph.
Cool.
At our time figuring out how Ralph worked, but it was diving everywhere with Ariel. It was fun. The game's really stunning, so I think you guys are going to be very pleased, like, aesthetically. And the combat, I really enjoyed it. So I had a 5-minute, hands-on. It was cool.
Even seeing the transition from the cartoon worlds that we saw, we saw the Frozen world, and it looked great because it looked just like Frozen. But then we got the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, also, again, weird choice, on the PlayStation conference. But then seeing real-life, real movies, not animated movies, in that engine, stunning.
Yeah. Brilliant. It is gorgeous. It is a beautiful game.
And did it did any trailer affect any sort? We got a lot of the lore stuff when it came to Aqua getting Norded. There you go.
Yeah.
And some the Organization 13 being back and
showed up all over the place.
Yeah, and I think it was Luxord in the Pirates of the Caribbean world. He was the same guy that was in the world in Kingdom Hearts 2. And so him showing back up there makes sense because he was in Davy Jones's locker. Damn it.
We're gonna
do a Kingdom Hearts thing here and just bore everybody.
No, but I can't wait.
Patrick, you can't come.
I'm gonna be here. I'll cheer you on.
Did it surprise anybody that it was so... It saturated the entire weekend?
I was excited for you guys.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I was it's not my thing, but I was glad that you guys had so many good
this
looks.
This is when they were making the first new Star Wars movie. It's been so long. People have been waiting for it. You knew it was coming, but was it ever actually going to come? This is one of, is there another game that you can say that is like this? That people have been waiting for so long?
The Last Guardian.
Actually, as long, but
Beyond
long.
Beyond Good and Evil, when that comes out in 2025.
Yeah, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
There's no way that game comes out.
But also in the sense of that people have been fiending for this game since 2 came out, right away.
Yeah, 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 mm-hmm. You're right.
It skipped a console generation. Yeah. A long console generation.
That's crazy. The only reason why I bought a PS3.
Same.
Was Kingdom Hearts 2 is going to come out for PS3, so I guess I'm buying a PS3. I'll get, a 360 at some point.
And that's why I got a PS4 first as well.
Is that
because
right?
It's going to be
And
like
that's why I threw my PS3 away and just stuck with Xbox. Because, man, you ain't going to play me again, Sony.
All right. So there are a lot of other questions that I wanted to ask about the weekend. But with how much time we have left, I want to get to Game of Show. And Patrick, since you were there... I want to start with you. I don't know if you got to play this game.
Which game?
Your game of show?
It was not playable. So my game of the show was Last of Us, I think, just because that game resonates with me.
So let's just sort of play that as B-roll.
Just really quickly, this game, I'm I didn't want there to be more Last of Us. I really didn't. The Joel and Ellie are two people that I think about like real human beings. Like, they're people that I wonder how they're doing. Like, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's that powerful of a story. Yeah. I wonder how they're doing. Like distant, like family members you haven't seen in a bit. Like, I wonder how they are. And so for me, even hearing the chords and checking back in with these two characters that meant so much to me was awesome to see. And Nate and I have a fundamental disagreement here, but I think this is a technical masterpiece. A, the kiss that they had on, like, a great queer representation on the world's biggest stage. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But also the kiss animation that was like nose deformation. Like, I've watched this like now 5 times. And then the animations at play, the contextual animations at play during the course of this, I'm with Nate. Like, it is technical wizardry. If it ends up looking anything remotely like this, we're in for something magic.
Yeah.
Naughty Dog, there's some secret sauce. It's
pre-rendered.
I'm telling you,
it looks 100% gorgeous. Yep. And I've gone on record several times, especially while we were watching the show. I was not interested in Last of Us even after the fact, knowing the story and being familiar with the story. I'll watch a movie. I don't like playing the game. But the story of Ellie, I think, is so much more interesting than the story of Joel.
Yeah.
And I think watching this, if I play this and I like this, I might go back and play the original Last of Us.
I think you will.
Even though I like it. Even though I'm not interested.
It's such a beautiful moment. The kid, like, she's watching this woman who's like flirting with the guy, like the dude, and they have this amazing kiss, and then she flashes and goes through this. Like, how heartbreaking is that? And the moment where she finally kisses this girl, this is what's going on in her head. I think I've got high hopes.
I'm a fan of the storytelling.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's the thing of what's the difference between messing up a sequence so many times that I don't want to play the game anymore.
Yep.
And just watching the story. Yeah, on totally. YouTube.
This looks like so intense that like I'm worried about playing it. So I was cool. On pins and needles the entire time. Brutally violent.
Let's move on to we kind of talked about it, but Stacey, your game of the show. Let's talk about it some more.
Yes,
man. Well, Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out swinging.
Yes, it did.
I mean, with what they showed us on the stage and what came out afterwards, this is kind of a whole new world for Assassin's Creed. And I, for one, loved Origins.
Me too.
I played that game, I mean, to completion. I adored every part of that game. I thought that they had some amazing overhauls that really updated the Assassin's Creed franchise. And now they've gone even further.
Yep.
And it's coming out so soon. But, I mean, branching dialogue options, yes. They're becoming like an RPG. And especially after the disappointment in Anthem, where they confirmed that you didn't really get these choices. I mean, there's no romance in Anthem, first of all. And so, and then, you know, it becomes, and they're like, oh, hey, we got that.
Yep.
You want it? We got it. So I'm really interested. And again, you get to choose from two playable characters.
Yep.
There are two completely different adventures that you can have in this game. The replayability of it, you know, which who knows, who has time to replay this game?
It's an animus narrative conceit too, right? Like, I think it's really cool. They've even come up with a way, like, why it makes sense you can be a man or a woman. I think it's cool.
I like how we got in the gameplay tease, we got a little bit of, we've got Socrates, and also the fact that I'm such a big fan of using actual Greek pronunciation as opposed to the Romanized version of Heracles as opposed to Hercules,
cool.
which is the Roman version, and Leonidas, and I was raised in a Greek community, essentially.
Cool.
So I've been around this world and these pronunciations sort of finally, like, to... They're actually treating it with respect as opposed to God of War, who's like, where Kratos literally shouts in 3, Hercules! I'm like, oh, that sucks. But it looks amazing, and it's definitely a day one purchase for me.
And, yeah,
oh,
me, yeah. You and me both.
Crushed it. Yeah. I love it. Nate, I am a big fan of your choice.
Yes.
What'd I pick? Oh, yeah. Dying Light 2.
Dying Light 2.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes.
The whole time I was watching that trailer, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I want to play this.
Totally.
And then I was like, oh, it's a sequel to a game that I already like. Sign me up.
Yeah. The way that they're sort of changing stuff a little bit more, the fact that it's an active world and its effect, we're talking about choices, the way that they set up, oh, yeah, you help these people and water is more readily available, but they're really protective of it.
Yep.
I like that sort of trying to be familiar with as many guilds as possible, but it's got its consequences.
Dude, and, like, they explained it really well, too. I think, to your point, Nate, like, they showed why it was, like, really interesting. Like, I liked the first one, too. The story was the weakest part of the first one.
Yeah.
They brought out Chris Avellan, who did, like, Knights of the Old Republic and KOTOR 2, like... a really accomplished video game writer. And, like, for me, that was the most exciting part. They just basically said, look, we know that weak part, but, like, all that cool shit, but now it's going to be, like, really impactful. Right. I'm so with you. This game was amazing.
The fact that I was able to put as many hours in, again, like, reinstalling it, I'm playing the new deals, the expansion I never played before now. But, yeah. With the story being as weak as it was and still being propelled to finish the game because of how fun the gameplay loop is and, like, just the level design and dealing with the zombies in the different ways. Because zombie games, I do get zombie fatigue because there is so many of them. But this game, I think, approaches it very differently. I really like movement games. So, yeah, I'm excited for this.
This is one of the few zombie games where I'm like, they're doing something different.
Yeah, totally.
And, it's fun. And I was a big fan of Dying Light 1. And as we were seeing this and as I was figuring out, oh, this is Dying Light 2, I was super stoked. So I love this choice. And for me, for everybody, I said, we can't pick Kingdom Hearts because, of course, we would pick that.
Sure.
Yeah. I didn't want to pick Smash. I'm already buying everything that Sony said. Now, this is going to surprise a lot of people, you're going to hate me.
I already know.
What is it?
Do you? Oh, that's right. I did tell you. I picked Crackdown 3.
Okay.
Because this is the thing that's making me go, we're Terry Crews the entire time?
Yep.
It completely flipped my opinion on the game. I was like, oh, they're Terry Crews is gonna be a talking head and whatever. But no, we are Terry Crews.
Yep.
Not even Jackson. We are Terry Crews.
Yep.
And then showing the little bit of gameplay that we did got, this is my aesthetic. This is almost like the Super Tron game that I never
Aren't
got.
We Terry Crews?
Yeah. The yes. way that this gameplay is being shown, it makes it seem like, I know, like, before it looked like we had...
I didn't read it like that.
It was,
I think this is just like a...
No,
it's like a, here, let me show you what you guys can do.
No, I don't.
I'd be very surprised if you don't make your own person in the new Crackdown game.
If Terry Crews is an option, then I'm going to be Terry Crews.
Yeah, amen. You can choose to be Terry Crews.
Always be yourself unless you can be Terry Crews, then be Terry Crews.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. But
it's my favorite
it as,
stuff.
Like, he's like the captain or guy. He's going to, like, tell you how to do... How to crack down.
It's my favorite stuff about the Tron Uprising game. No, that's the series. It's my favorite stuff about the Tron game. My favorite stuff about Infamous and Traversal. Some of my favorite stuff about just like Saints Row. Like Saints Row 4. It looks like it's going to have so much of my favorite stuff, and it's going to be tongue-in-cheek. And it's a world where I may not... I'll pull a Stacy and not do story mode, but you know what? I want to smash some stuff for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Crackdown. It makes me want to get and maintain a Game Pass subscription.
Cool.
The other thing that I was going to say, which was also a surprise to me, I was going to say the new Tetris VR.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I need to buy VR to play that game.
Yep.
And then all of the other stuff that was announced that would have VR capabilities as well was interesting.
I just want to say I was going to pick Fallout 76, but I thought somebody else was going to pick
it. Oh, is that right? Oh. That was almost yours?
And
if you have a chance, Bethesda put out a really great documentary about the making of 76.
Yes.
And there's so much good information that it's really
And Stacey, that Odyssey wasn't your only pick either.
No, I mean, I also put Wolfenstein Youngblood on there because
up top.
Really.
I hate to be a hater, but I was not. That trailer, I was like...
But I think the anytime... Like,
maybe
with the last game...
I need to play the new one.
You do.
Yeah.
And playing in his two daughters. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
let's go
so
fuck
that's
up
that's
Nazis.
That's probably why.
Yeah. Opening it up to co-op. Because
I have no attachment to the daughters. So.
Oh, yeah. No.
And, yeah, spoilers.
And Pete Hines was like saying, "Love my commitment to fucking up Nazis on every platform."
Right?
Thank you, Pete. Well, again, you're too good for this world. We don't deserve you.
I mean, that was... The best.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, and I guess this means this we need to have a Fallout, not 76, but we need to have an E3 Fallout discussion where some of the bigger questions we get a little bit more time to talk about. That may not be this Monday, because I don't know if everybody's going to be here or present. We may not have a show on Monday, because it's going to be crazy, but we're going to talk about that. Make sure you head on over to our Twitch page, InventoryFullPT. InventoryFullPT, twitch.tv/InventoryFullPT. Give us a follow and give us a subscription. We would really appreciate it. It's going to help us grow that channel and do more discussions. Like, that's one of the things that I love doing with this group is discussions. So please head on over to our Twitch page. Follow us there. That's where you can watch the show live every Monday night at 7 p.m. And you can watch all of our E3 coverage, which I'll rerun shortly after this show goes up. But until next time, last thoughts about E3 2018 for now. and where the folks can find you on the internet. Patrick Dees with your sweet Xbox jacket.
Definitely don't go if you like have any choice. Listen, you can find me. If you're in the Bay Area for any reason, speaking at Oracle Arena, it's where the Golden State Warriors play, on the future of esports. I'm not only opening, I'm moderating a panel with Dr. Disrespect at the beginning. I'm the keynote closing. So if you're in the Oakland area, come see me. I'm Oracle Arena. I'll get you in. Also, you can find me at Pete of the D's. I talk a lot about fan-controlled football.
Stacey.
Fair enough. Hey, guys, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. Man, this E3 started real strong, and the ending was kind of weird, but it was still fun. I am going to be dedicating a lot of my time in the next couple of weeks to my Switch as I travel around Great Britain and Scotland. So I am playing Fallout Shelter. I'll be playing Legend of Zelda. I am on it.
I'm all about it. Nate, what's up with you, sir?
My name's Nate Miller. What's up, nerds? You can find me on all social media, Dog Like Nate. E3 is kind of lame. Buy a PC. All the good games aren't showed there. Hey, like Red Dead.
PC had a press conference, and we didn't talk about it.
Which no one.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Make sure to check out all of our coverage at Inventory Full PT. And for random clips and interesting discussions, we also have a YouTube channel, Inventory Full on PT. Or Inventory Full Pod on YouTube. I'll post the link to that as well. But thank you so much, everybody, for joining. Thanks to the Popcorn Talk Network for being our home for our podcast. We love doing the show here. Thank you so much for your time. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. You ready to die?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.